This is a collection of recordings I made with some of the world's most knowledgeable, well-known, and successful whitetail hunters on the planet. I know you're really going to enjoy and learn from the wisdom they share, along with their personal life and their walk with God. I hope you enjoy these classic conversations. Hey, I've got Danny Dodge with me on here. Danny, it is so good to have you on here with us. And
well, thank you.
Well, I know we're going to gain a lot of information from you, buddy.
Oh, we'll see what you get out of it.
Where are you located?
Oh, I'm just an hour north of Denver. Kind of, you know, everybody says their own part of the country is God's country. And I know it is, but I kind of got a better idea about things living in God's real country.
Yeah, I've been living in Indiana for a while, and I keep making a joke and saying our state flower is the cornstalk, and our state bird was Larry. For you basketball fans out there. Danny, your bio, as I was going down through this, really is amazing. You are a producer, a director, a cameraman, you know, all those things for over 25 years. Well, Danny, this is one of the reasons why I want to have you on here, because you really have a unique perspective that most of us as hunters have never had. You get to see over the shoulder of these guys the best of the best. So let's start off with this. Let's start off, say we have a novice hunter, and my specialty, what I'm really trying to help these guys with is whitetail deer. All of your years of experience, looking over the shoulder of the best, and you're wanting to help the novice, you know, really get started and be successful, what would you say to him is one of the most important things to do?
Oh, gosh, that is such a loaded question, because there's so many things that fall into place when you're dealing with a new hunter. First of all, success really is a key factor, and you don't want to put a new hunter in a situation to where it's going to be too hard, to where they're not going to have that success. And just something that just now came to mind is when you're dealing with young kids, you don't want to have that young kid holding a gun that's going to really kick back on them. I know there's been some kids who've, you know, they'll never hunt again because it just scared them so bad the first time they pulled that trigger, they wouldn't do it. So, you know, if you can do this, if it's a young hunter, get them a 243 or something like that, something that hasn't got a lot of kick. And hunt an animal that they're going to have more success on. You know, hogs have become a real pest around. They're spreading across this entire country. And most of the time, you could probably talk to a farmer somewhere nearby, say, do you have hog infestations? Can we hunt them? And take your child out there and do that, or even take an adult out there. I could tell you what, I've had some of the best times hunting hogs with other guys, and we came away from that going, you know, we got to do that again. So I think what it comes down to is you got to make it a success, almost a guaranteed success for a new hunter.
You know, I think it's really important what you said, to not let that, you know, especially a child, use too big of a gun. When one of the things that we used to do is with kids, we would take a shotgun load and get a really low load and let them practice with that so they didn't have a big kick.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden now when you're turkey hunting and you need to have this kid shoot a high brass, he doesn't even know it's in there.
Yeah.
Because he'll never remember it after the shot. The adrenaline's pumping, you know, you're not even thinking about it. But you've had the chance to see over the shoulder of some of the best in the world. And something you mentioned to me was, I don't care how experienced you are, I still see these guys making the same mistake over and over again. What was that, Danny?
It's movement. You know, so much of the time from our perspective, you know, let's just put yourself in the moment here. You're a hunter out there, and let's say you're putting a stalk on a deer. All right. And there's grass and trees around you. You're seeing no movement from yourself because your head is glued to your eyes, right? Well, so many of these hunters will move their head to look at some other things, you know, to the left, to the right, to locate where they're at, not realize that their head is waving like a white flag in the air to show this deer where they're at. And the other thing is hands. It's amazing. There's so much movement. You know, when I'm filming behind people, they don't recognize it. A lot of times they're worried about how much noise I'm going to make or if I'm going to move with that camera, and they don't see their head turning completely around to check me out. So if you got somebody filming you, and don't be checking on them. Worry about yourself. The other thing I say to do is, you know, you can't learn without being on the other side, and that means going. Let's say you've completed your hunt. Okay, you've already got the animal and everything. Go back through and replay that. Go to where the animal was. Look back where you were to see what the animal saw. Kind of play it through your mind and remember what movements you made, and then go, oh gosh, you know what? The reality is I didn't have anything behind me. I was totally silhouetted. He who moves gets seen. Okay. If the deer moves, you see him. If you move, the deer sees you. So anytime you move, you've got to have something between you and that animal to block it out.
But for these guys that are they're going to be filming their own hunts and beginning doing this, what's some of the most important tips that you could give to those guys out there who want to film their own hunts?
Well, you know, it really comes down to the basics, and that'd be gear, the gear that you get. You don't have to spend big money to get a good camera to record a hunt. Matter of fact, the one that I've gone to Africa with as a secondary kind of a backup camera, almost like a handy cam camera, is a Canon Vixia. I think it's only like $600 for their high-end Canon Vixia. And that one has just about everything you need. I mean, other than the fact that you could use mics on this, I don't think, you know, if you're filming your own hunt, who needs external mics and all that stuff? If you want to go to that level, call me. I'll tell you what to get. But if you want to do it cheap, that camera will do it for you. Like you said, hitting record is a very important thing. But I say if you're going to record your hunt, let's say you're in a blind, the most important thing to do, if you're going to, you know, take it back home and edit it, do two cameras. And I can get you two cameras for under $1,000, well under $1,000, that will just blow your mind. That's that Canon Vixia, and then what's called a GoPro. The GoPro is perfect. It's a little 2-inch by 2-inch camera. You can stick it up in a blind. It gets the whole inside of the blind. You can just punch the button, roll on that one. Punch the button, roll on your other camera, and you got the whole deal. You don't have to go back and what they do, reenact things. You know, you've got the excitement there, and you got the real moment.
So, Danny, let's say that you've got a buddy you love to hunt with, and you're both going to be putting up tree stands. Do you pick the same tree? Do you put one above the other? Do you try to get two trees? How high do you need to be above him? What's some of the things that these guys might need to know about that?
I like to shoot from a different tree so that I can get, you know, close-ups, wide shots of the hunter. It's a view you never see, you know, on hunting shows especially. You never really get to see that hunter from a wide shot to establish where he is in relation to the deer. And I think that's important, you know, to tell this whole story. You know, one of the basic things in filming is shooting a wide shot, going medium, then going tight. And that tells a story, establishes where you are, then it starts to actually get you in the emotion of the thing. So now standard-wise, though, is most of the time you'll have one stand just above the other one and kind of off-kilter, maybe 45 degrees back, so that you can shoot over the shoulder of the other hunter. That's generally how it's done. But like I say, I'm the oddball, but I have been doing this many, many years, so I'm pretty quick at kind of changing per situation, and I can get the shot. So if you want to do it, you want to do it right and do it easy, get up and above and just to the right or left of that hunter.
When it comes back to who you really are as a person and what is most important to you, what would that be?
Easy. My family. My family consists of God and my wife and kids, and they don't, I'll be honest with you, I've always kept my eye on God and kept my eye on the family, but I have not always been so close as I am right now, and that's so important to me. I think my lifestyle has actually changed in the last year. You know, one of the things I don't think a lot of people realize is that I've been sick for 20 years, had a allergy to gluten, didn't realize it, could never figure it out. And that caused a lot of stress in my life. It caused me to focus on work. Work was my getaway. I spent so much time, you know, and my justification, you know, spending so much time was I was trying to make the dollar. I wanted to make the family comfortable. I wanted to take care of them, give them things. But the one thing I didn't give them through that whole time was enough dad time. And it hurts. It hurts now looking back on it. But what I found out is now that my focus is back on what really counts. It's not making them tremendously comfortable. It's actually spending quality time with them. I see that it's never too late to start out on the right path.
I think this is great wisdom. Danny, buddy, thank you so much for sharing not only your wisdom and expertise, you know, in the whitetail world, in the outdoors, but yourself and, you know, thank your family for allowing you to be a part of what we're doing here today. Please do that for us. Keep living the wildlife, buddy. And
all right, YouTube rant.
I'll see you in the woods.